Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallet's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallet's. I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our Bible study, our weekly Bible study. We've been having a good time, been going through the Bible and looking at many of the different characters that we come across in the Bible, individuals whose lives can speak to us today. They speak volumes about the grace of God and about His patience, about His graciousness, about the way that He works in individual lives who are flawed individuals, who are not perfect people. And I thank God today that He uses folks that are not perfect. I thank God that He still has a hand in people's lives who might seem to the world to be unlikely vessels to be used to glorify God. But we know the more flawed the vessel is, whenever we have something in our lives that glorifies God, when we are unclean, when we are imperfect, then God is glorified in that He could use a wretched old sinner like us to glorify Himself, and not only Himself, but His Son. I want to wish a happy birthday and a happy anniversary to a few folks before we get into our sermon here today. And this being Thursday the 10th, I want to wish a happy anniversary to Walter and Jessica Devine on Sunday the 13th. So happy anniversary to them. Also wish the happy birthday to Miss Chastity Luchek, who's having a birthday on Monday the 14th. And a short list this week, but still happy anniversary to Walt and Jessica, and happy birthday to Chastity. And we just love these folks, and they are so kind and good to us, and we're becoming really, really close as a church family, and I thank God for that. You know, as we look into the Christmas story, as we think about the Christmas season, I challenged you last week, and I want to reiterate that challenge. I want to repeat that for your benefit. Do not allow the people around you to get away with a happy holidays thing. Do you know what the world is trying to do? It's trying to take Christ out of Christmas. It's trying to remove Jesus from all the reasons that they celebrate. But listen, the very reasons that we give gift now is to represent the great, great gift that was given to us in the sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins. So don't allow that. Don't put happy holidays on your cards. Don't put it on the sign in your yard. Let's make sure we keep the Christ in Christmas. One of the most unfortunate things I've ever seen is folks that'll write Merry Xmas on a card. Now, don't do that. That takes Christ completely out of Christmas. Let's make it about what it's really about. The world will want to deny it. The world will want to try to take that reason away. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus is Lord. And I'll tell you, folks, that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. That makes a lot of people just kind of have to move around in their seat a little bit because they get uncomfortable when you go to talking about Jesus. And I'll tell you why. Because the reality is that He is the only way for a person to have eternal life. The reality of this world is that Jesus is still the only way. I don't care what all your primetime TV specials will say. I don't care what the scientists out there do. I don't care what kind of facts they bring me. In my mind, through the faith that God has given me, nothing will override the Holy Scriptures and the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of the Holy Spirit is this: Jesus Christ was born, Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, and He died a perfect sacrifice for my sins. But wait, that's not the end of the story. Jesus Christ rose again. And that moment in time has changed eternity for millions of people, and I hope it's changed eternity for you. In the book of Matthew, many of you will find these verses to be very familiar. In the book of Matthew, the Bible tells us in chapter 1, verse 18, "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Folks, I'll tell you today that the world is lost and dying, and that there's certainly no hope for this world outside this one fact, that Christmas is not just a season. Christmas commemorates an actual factual happening in this world. You see, I believe today one of the things that's being attacked the most is the homes in which we live in. The homes in which we try to raise our children, we try to make our families better, we try to bring people together. And during this holiday season, during Christmas season, if there's one thing we must admit to is it makes us think about home. It makes us think about people getting together and people you haven't seen maybe since this time last year. And they'll be coming in and they'll be coming through the door. The wind will be cold outside and they'll come in and it'll be warm and there'll be a Christmas tree up and the parties will be had and there'll just be all kinds of merriment being made. People will get to hug each other's necks and things. And Christmas time makes us think about home. I want you to consider the home life of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was it like when Jesus came into this world? What kind of surroundings did He have? Did they have these sort of get-togethers maybe every once in a while? Did they ever have a time in Jesus' life which He might look back upon when He was there in His ministry? And He might have remembered those good times as He was sitting around as a little boy and there was His mom and His dad. And what a wonderful time it must have been. But I know, and I like this fact, I like to remember that the Bible tells us that all these special things that happened to Jesus, whenever Zacharias there in the temple said that he could pass away now because he'd seen the coming of the Lord, whenever Anna the prophetess declared what a wonderful thing had happened that day, whenever Jesus was just 12 years old and he astounded the temple priests when he was able to answer their questions and then ask them questions they had no idea of, the Bible tells us that Mary pondered these things in her heart. You know, I believe that God gave Mary a special insight as to what exactly was happening with her in her life. You could imagine the nervousness. You could imagine the turmoil that she must have been going through when she knew that there was a child conceived in her, not of a man, not of a circumstance, but of the Holy Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit of God implanted within the Virgin Mary the child, Jesus Christ. Now, this was a child that would be unlike any other child. No other child would ever be conceived of the Holy Spirit. We know and we believe and we teach and we preach that Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son. Not only that, but He was of the Father. He was completely the Father and yet He was completely a man-child. We believe that He raised Himself up from the dead. We know that this is the only individual that's ever done that. You see, Lazarus, he was resuscitated. Paul, the children that he raised were resuscitated. They're only one that has been revived under His own power, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus revived Himself. He's the only one that had the power to do that, folks. And here's good news. Because He was able to do it through love of the God the Father, through the love He displayed to you, we can be raised as well. I think there's a great misunderstanding about eternal death. You see, a lot of folks will hear eternal death and they think that means that one day existence will come to an end. But that's not what the Bible's talking about when it talks about eternal death. The Bible is talking about a separation from God. You remember in the book of Genesis that the Bible said Adam and Eve walked with God. I believe that meant that God actually dwelled there inside Adam and Eve. And when sin came into that temple of Adam and Eve, then God had to be removed. And that day they died a death. They died a death, but the Bible says they continued on and they had children. And we see that they continued to exist on this earth, yet to God they were dead because of their sin. Now, that's awful. There's no hope for that because God being holy, God being what He is, cannot come near sin. It just can't happen in the lives of Christians. It grieves the Holy Spirit. In the lives of unbelievers, it condemns them to death, not believing on the Son of God. We know that sin and God cannot mingle. So are we hopeless? Are we left without any security for the future? Oh no, friend. Romans 8:1 says, there is now, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. You see, Jesus' home life was about the Spirit. I believe that Jesus walked continually in the Spirit of God. He was the Spirit of God. They are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit lived there in the house with Joseph and Mary. Now, do you think that lessened Jesus' childhood? Do you think that meant He'd ever had any scraped knees, or He never had a tummy ache, or He never had an ear infection? Yes, these things did happen to Jesus. These things, He lived life as we do in order that He might understand what it's like to be human and provide us with a salvation. The birth of Jesus Christ was that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And you know that story very well. You know, I think it speaks a whole lot about Joseph to see that he did not draw Mary out and display her in public, because he would have had the right to do this at this time. And he would have said that she had cheated on him in some way, because in those days, that marriage proposal and that acceptance was just as binding as a marriage is today. And we see that that would have been a thing that Joseph could have taken part in. He could have had Mary condemned right there, but he chose not to do that. Part of that being because an angel had told Joseph in a dream that these things were to come about. So Joseph was a man that followed God. The Bible said in verse 19, he was a just man, and he not wanted to put her a public example, and he was going to put her away secretly. Joseph had a heart for God. It's true. Joseph had a heart for God. He understood that there was a higher power in his life, and that we are susceptible to what God wants in our days. You see, he didn't want to just put her away secretly. He just wanted to try to cover this thing up. But he understood, I think he understood, that God was about to perform something brilliant. And can you imagine verse 20? As he's thinking about these things, can you imagine being, here you are with your wife that you're afraid of being caught in adultery, and you just really don't know what to do here, and these things are tearing away at your heart. He was in a hard spot. He was in a place that many of us have found ourselves. We're torn between two decisions. What do we do? How can we make up our minds? What is it that we must know? We seek God's will. Joseph, that day, in verse 20, he thought about these things. Now, I want you to think about some things in your own life. I certainly hope that, I think it's tragic this time of year. I'll talk to folks, and I'll tell them about maybe how our families are getting together, about some of the functions that we're going through. And I've had folks just kind of laugh and make light of it and say, well, you know, our family can't even get together. There's just too many fights. They're just all too rough. We don't even bother with getting together because it's just too much trouble. They'll just end up being strife. And as they say that, they laugh a little bit. And their mouths might have a smile, but their eyes are sad. And they realize that's not what the home life is really about. Friends, listen. Jesus came to heal those broken homes. Jesus came to bring the wounds back together and to seal them up. And there may be scars left, but we're stronger for our scars. While he thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Oh, if it could be that simple for us, if it could be that easy for you and I, to have an angel come to us when we're faced with tough decisions in the home, when we're faced with tough decisions. What do we do about that wayward teenager? What do we do about that child that's rebellious? What do we do about that wife that's suddenly grown cold and doesn't seem to show much interest anymore? What do we do about that husband that's always putting himself in front of the family? How is it that we handle these situations? Friend, I want to encourage you. I want to report to you that prayer is an answer. That when you go to your knees to God and you begin to seek His face in these matters in your home, that God wants to restore peace to your home. God wants to see it made relevant. God wants to see that daddy come closer to know the Lord. God wants to see that mama begin to take charge in that home and let them kids know what it is that they're standing there for, that they're going to build a Christian home. And I pray that during this Christmas season that many, many families today will join hands around the table, and that daddy, being the leader of that home, will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And do you know what will happen? You'll begin to see a dramatic change in your home life. When you begin to take Jesus out of the church house and put Him in the homes, that's when you begin to see an impact. Do you know, do you understand that God must show more of Himself in your home than He needs to in the church house? That's the absolute truth. 2 Timothy, Paul said, let them first show piety at home. And what is piety but understanding of godliness? Let them first show godliness in the home. When it gets into the houses, then you'll see it affect the families. Then the church house will come about. Then you'll begin to see congregations lifted up. If you want revival, friend, let it start at the kitchen table. Let it start in the living rooms of your home. We need to stop letting the TV pipe that filth into our homes. We need to stop letting the internet pervade our children's minds. And we need to start declaring in this world, my house is a Christian house. My house is not just about happy holidays. My house is not about Xmas. My house is about Christmas, when Jesus Christ came to be born into the world, and now He lives in my home and He exists in my heart, and my children will stand for Him, my wife will stand for Him, and praise God, He'll bring us closer together because of it. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about when God came down and visited with His people. Oh friend, every answer that you've ever sought can be found in God's Word. It's simply up to you to lay it out before you and ask God to teach you, ask the Holy Spirit to move in your mind and begin to show you things, begin to reveal things to you through the Holy Bible. And friend, when that begins to happen, you'll begin to see what I'm saying is right. You'll begin to say, yes, I agree with that. And not only that, I don't want you to just agree, I want you to take action on it. I want you to see what Joseph did. God said, she'll bring forth a son and you shall call His name Jesus. Why? For He will save His people from their sins. He'll save the people. He'll save the home. He'll save the church. God makes a difference in this world. I want you to follow through with chapter 1 for me. Let's finish that together. Verse 22 says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold. When the Bible asks you to behold something, it wants you to do something more than just see it with your eyes. It wants you to do something more than just hear it with your ears. It wants you to take a full picture of that thing and to understand it. It wants you to be able to encompass that. It wants you to be able to grasp that with your mind and be able to understand it and take it with you and make it a part of your life. And the Bible says, behold, understand, come to know, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated, friend, God with us. God with us. Emmanuel. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. There God repaired the home. What could have been a circumstances for brokenness, what could have been circumstances for heartache, what could have been a circumstance to see men and women's lives torn apart and children caught in a balance, so we tell us that Joseph took to him his wife. Husband, take your wife. Wife, take your husband. Separate yourselves from all others. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, rely upon one another. Not the things outside this world. Not the things that come in and try to steal away your hopes and your dreams. And you might think for a season that everything's getting better, and you might actually think it helps circumstances. But friend, listen to me, sin will always be found out. And you cannot make things better by adding, you don't make a better a soup by adding poor ingredients. You make a good meal by adding good ingredients. And I'll tell you, you can't allow sin to come in and out of your marriage and think it's going to better your home. You can't allow outside influences to develop within yourself. Women, you can, wives, you can't talk to the buddy there at work, another man, and confide in him all the secret things of your heart and think it's going to make anything better. That's the devil's way of getting you to rely upon that man. And then your affection begins to go toward him and not your husband. Husbands, you can't talk to those women at work like you do to your wife. That your wife is for you only. God has said you've taken some vows, and those vows are important, and our families need today. Wives and husbands need to understand, and they need to take each other unto themselves and quit relying on outside circumstances, hoping they will better the home, because they will not. The only thing that will better the home is when that mama and that daddy hit their knees together in that bedroom or in that church altar, and they begin to ask God to repair that home. They begin to ask God to do something in their lives that the world cannot do. It cannot accomplish what God can do. Joseph took unto him his wife. And I pray to God that every man might do the same. And the Bible says he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. Friend, if there's one answer I can give you for what it is that you're facing today, it would be to sell out completely to the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him your all, because He's gave you everything. And so I want to leave you with this challenge, that you allow God to fill your home this holiday season, that you allow God to make Christmas, not only in this outside world, not only in on the television, not only in all this other circumstances, but that you'll prepare room in your heart for Him to reside permanently. And then it'll overflow into your home. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, I pray for the homes today. Father, I thank You that You gave a great example of what a home should be like when You gave us the example of Joseph and Mary. And Father, I thank You for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You, dear God, for the perfect life that Jesus led. I thank You, dear God, for the cross that He hung upon. And dear God, today I thank You for that empty tomb. I thank You, dear God, that the stone was rolled away and the angel said to the women, "He is not here, He is risen." Thank You, dear Lord. Thank You, dear Lord, for all that You're doing. Dear God, please be with everyone that's listening here this morning. Father, would You, I just want to lift them up to You right now. Dear God, men and women, Father, we are so fragile, dear Lord, at times, and we need so much help, Lord. Help us to understand our weaknesses. Help us to understand, dear Father, that without You, we're powerless to do anything in this old world. God, help us to keep Christ in Christmas, regardless of what the world might teach, that this holiday is still about Him. And Father, we'll be sure to give You all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.